Our Bible reading this evening is in the book of Daniel again, and we're turning to chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, opening from the opening verse. And it's not a very long chapter, so I'll read through it. Let's hear the Lord's word in Daniel 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel according to the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree, "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that should ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went before him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found in him, upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king had commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Amen. Let's stand together, please, and we'll ask the Lord to help us as we come to preach on this tonight. Father, I praise thee for this amazing story, and we thank thee for thy protection to thy servant Daniel, and that thou art the God who intervenes, even to shut the mouths of lions. We thank thee that thou art the God who shall put down all thine enemies and even all our enemies. We thank thee that thou art ruling the world to bless and build your church. We thank thee that you lift up and you pull down. And we pray this evening that you will teach us from your word what this means for Christian living today in this land of Canada. O Lord, we think of the schemes of wicked men. We think of the unbelief, the idolatry, and the need for revival in our land and for thy church to be strengthened. O God, minister to us and send us the Holy Spirit to work faith in our hearts and give power in preaching. I take the promised power of God the Holy Spirit to fill me, that I might speak in that name that is above all names, the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, last week I told you that I like Daniel. Well, tonight I really like Daniel. I like him because he endured through so many changes. This is now the third king on the throne, and the third time when there were tremendous pressures and threats against Daniel. There was firstly Nebuchadnezzar, then Belshazzar. And did you notice in verse 1 that it's now Darius? Darius. Now, how did that happen? And he's a Median. He's not a Chaldean. Somewhere in this history, the Persian invasion fell upon this city of Babylon. Historians tell us that this was the last part of the vast empire of Cyrus that crushed this area of Babylon. But how did Darius become the king? Well, the Chaldeans were swept out of power by the Persian invasion after a long siege. And the Persians, working under cover of darkness, they dammed the river, they redirected its waters, they tunneled under the otherwise impregnable walls, and they invaded the city of Babylon from underneath. And in another night of drunkenness by the Chaldeans, that was when the Persians invaded. But again, how did Darius become king? The Persians, led by King Cyrus the Great, had defeated the Medes in the year 549 BC. Wisely, the Persians allowed locals to govern. Their policy was not to totally exterminate, but to incorporate. And there's an entangled line of intermarriage between some of these Medes and Persians. And so there was something of cooperation or a merge. And the Medes were now in charge of Babylon, and Darius was the king. We're not totally reliant on the Bible for some of this information. There is a tremendous amount of historic evidence and archaeological evidence, like the cylinder of Cyrus. And that is a document that was issued by Cyrus the Great, consisting of a cylinder of clay inscribed in Akkadian cuneiform script. And the cylinder was created in 539 BC, surely by order of Cyrus the Great, when he took Babylon. Now, it is said by historians that Cyrus was the first leader to incorporate, and this is a word from Neil McGregor from the British Museum, that it was the first attempt we know about running a society, a state, with different nationalities and faiths. And so another part of the answer, how Darius the Mede was the king of Babylon at that time. Now, I dig into some of that evidence because there are a great number of liberals who deny the historic record in the book of Daniel. Now, they are liberals, of course, and they deny everything supernatural. They deny the miracles. They deny the inspiration of the Bible. So, in reality, it is no surprise that they're going to deny Daniel. Now, they do so because of the prophecies of Daniel. They don't like his prophecies. And they say that no one could have come up with all the direct evidence that he prophesied that was so meticulously fulfilled within a couple of hundred years through Alexander the Great and the Roman Empire rising and so on. And so they say it's all ridiculous. But remember one thing. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, let him understand." So the Lord Jesus not only believed in Daniel, but he believed in his prophecies. The things that are recorded in this book that were to transpire did transpire even before the life of Christ. The Lord said, "You will then understand." And then, of course, there are some things that will read right to the latter end. Now, I like Daniel because of the Lord's testimony and because he was a faithful man. As we read this chapter, you'll have noticed that Darius also liked Daniel, and he elevated him to be his chief advisor and chief politician. There were three that arose, and Daniel was the head of them. And he did so because he found Daniel to be trustworthy. Trust is huge in any government organization, indeed, in any collaborating work of life, trust is key. And you'll see in verse 2 that he was given this position that the king should receive no damage. I think I told you before about Margaret Thatcher having a banana skin committee. And it was a committee that was set up lest there be any falls of the government. You know how people skid on a banana skin and people hurt themselves. Well, the banana skin committee was to look out for anything that would damage the government. They need to be wise, they need to be thoughtful, they need to be thinking ahead, need to be good planners, and Daniel was all of that. Now, his work was to secure the kingdom from damage, and like any business, good government is essential. And Darius elevated him to that position. Now, that was important because Belshazzar the Chaldean, while he was a very good warrior, he was a very poor politician. He lost control in the reins of government. He lost the hearts of the people. And so you'll see at the end of chapter 5 that verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. And Xenophon, the Greek historian, says that was by his own sons who slew him. He obviously had lost all support. And so Daniel's role was vital. He was the man who would win the hearts of the people, unify the various strands of people to serve under Darius. And this brought about, of course, the jealousy of other wannabe leaders. And so the plotting began against Daniel. He was to be brought down by some means. He was really watertight. There was no scandal, no corruption that they could point to. There was nothing in Daniel's life was inconsistent. And so they came up with this deceitful way by which they would bring him down. They decided to arm the king of the Medes, Darius, with a decree. A decree that everyone for 30 days should worship the king Darius and no other god. Now, of course, it was very pleasing to Darius. It was very flattering. And he was on for it immediately. And it wasn't long until he signed the dotted line. And the decree went out. Now, it soon backfired on Darius because immediately that the decree was signed, Daniel, the very same day, never missed a step. He went to his house, he opened the windows toward Jerusalem, and he did what he did every other day. He prayed toward the city of Jerusalem, identifying himself as a believer in the God of Israel and a man of prayer. And that was his fall. The report went back to Darius. Daniel is worshiping his God, not you. And oh, Darius realized the trap that had been set, and contrary to all his own desires, could not change the laws of the Medes and Persians. And Daniel was off to the lion's dens. Yes, I like Daniel. He was a God-fearing man, and he believed in loyalty to his God first. He was no man-pleaser. I want you to see the testimony that the Bible gives to Daniel in verse 23. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. What made the man was his faith. because he believed in his God. If there's any hope for you and I to be godly people, to be principled people, to stand out in this world and to be useful to God, it's our faith that we believe in our God. And I want us tonight to look at this testimony of Daniel and compare it with your testimony. Is it true that you are standing up for the Lord because you believe in the Lord your God? Well, firstly, let us see that he was Daniel and he was the man of power because he believed God. Daniel kept on praying. He kept on praying. Look at verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled. You'll notice that there was no hesitation. He knew the decree was being formulated. He wondered, would it really become law, what it would mean to him? But when it was signed into law, he knew what it would mean. But without hesitation, he got on his knees with the windows open. There was no hiding. There was no trying to deny that he was going to continue worshiping the God of Israel by worshiping toward Jerusalem. His posture in prayer shows that he was an earnest man of prayer. He kneeled upon his knees. Now, the Bible doesn't demand any specific posture in prayer, but posture does tell a lot. Whether you believe that you humble yourself or you stand looking eye to eye to God, or whether you believe that God is all majestic and you are just a little worm coming to the Almighty Creator of all the earth. And so when Christians kneel, they demonstrate that humility, that submission, that dependence upon the grace of God. We see also his frequency of prayer, praying three times per day. He was a man who breathed the spirit of prayer. He did everything by prayer. And it's very important because you know that these lives of ours, they're very leaky. We have very leaky lives when it comes to the spirit and the grace of God. It's like a colander. You pour in the water, it just runs out. Now, it does its work. It washes the vegetables and the fruits and so on, but it doesn't hold water for long. And your life and mine is like that. That's why we need to constantly pray, to live in constant communion with God. And that's how Daniel prayed. Although he was one of the busiest men in the kingdom and in the city of Babylon, he still found time to pray three times a day, and I don't see him rushing it. That's the discipline that men and women of prayer must exercise. Where do we find men like Daniel? What would you do if there was a ban went out that you were not to pray to your God, to the Lord Jesus, for 30 days? What would you do? Would you defy? Would it make a difference? To some professing Christians, it would hardly make any difference. They don't go to prayer meetings anyway. They hardly ever get down on their knees and make it known that they pray to the Lord their God. Some would cop out and say, well, let's just sit it out. It's not worth rubbing people the wrong way over this. 30 days later, we'll all be back to normal. How much would it upset our daily lives? Some would give up and say, well, it's obviously therefore not the will of God for me to pray because I'm in a jurisdiction where I am told I'm not allowed to. Therefore, I will obey men. In a more convenient season, then I'll pray. Some people who profess faith in Christ, well, they never pray much anyway, so it wouldn't make much difference. Now, I thought on the confusion this might be in these times when we have COVID-19 restrictions, a total of 50 people only, and for 11 Sundays we didn't meet at all. What would Daniel have done if he had been living through this pandemic? Well, I think we have to see the great shades of difference. Number one, the king did not, our government is not telling us you can't pray to the Lord. We are not being forbidden to hold conversations by phone with one another, keeping 6 feet apart, of course. We're not being told that we have to give up our Christianity, and we're certainly not told that we have to worship a man. So there are a lot of differences. And the wise person, of course, would do what is right and according to the commandments of God, that we care for our brother and sisters and families and do what is safe. So don't tell me afterwards, if we were all like Daniel, we wouldn't listen to the government. That is very different. We see that for Daniel, this was really a matter of faith. Faith and prayer are always linked together. And that's true right throughout the Bible. Because the Lord Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And really, this whole book of Daniel is a book that teaches us that God truly does answer prayer. And it's a great encouragement and motivation to God's people to be men and women of prayer. And I hope that this so far series in this book will stir you to realize that you need to be like Daniel, that you need to recognize that God intervenes. God really comes down into the minutiae, the little things of our lives. He cares what's in our kitchen. He cares what's in our garden. He cares how we drive on the roads. He cares of our attitude with neighbors and friends. He cares what church we attend. He cares how we handle His Word. He cares how we worship Him. And we learn all of that in these chapters in the book of Daniel. And when we get to chapter 9, Lord willing, we will see Daniel on his knees again. And we will look at how that man prayed. Now, because he believed in his God, God shut the lion's mouths. The spies, of course, soon reported that Daniel broke the royal decree and that he was still praying to the God of Israel. And note the irony in verse 13, that Daniel, remember, they had spent all kinds of effort to try and change his name, to change his lifestyle, but he's still known in Babylon as that Daniel, the only one and the one. Everybody knew him. And everybody knew what kind of man he was, that he was still faithfully worshiping his own God. Now he was thrown into the den of lions. They sealed the mouth of the den. And Darius, well, he had a bad night. He had a very bad night. He probably didn't sleep a wink. And he was thinking about Daniel, what his fate would be. He was so filled with remorse and grief that he had allowed himself to be trapped by his deceitful advisors, and he couldn't change the law, and poor Daniel was thrust in against with the lions. Now, when you read the story, you'll find that Daniel probably had a good night. He found a pillow amongst the lions, and I wouldn't say enjoyed the night, but he got more sleep than Darius got. And in the morning, when Darius awoke, the first thing he could do before he did anything else, he went to the den of lions, he had it opened, or before he even opened it, he shouted out, "Oh, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And I'm sure all waited with bated breath, wondering what now they would hear from inside the den. And then at last came the clear words, O King, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and that shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. And the happiest man that day was Darius. He was happy because the trick, the trap that had been set upon him, failed. And they opened the tomb that had been sealed, and they brought out Daniel alive and well, and down underneath were the roars and the growls of those lions. And that reminded me of the morning that Jesus rose from the tomb. You remember how they sealed the Lord's tomb. Why did they seal it? Lest those Christians steal the body and say that he rose from the dead. Well, he rose anyway. You see, when evil men seek to do evil, God means it for good. And this now becomes the great testimony of Daniel. His God is able to deliver him from the lions' mouths. And this Daniel is now alluded to in the New Testament, the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11, as those who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. What a wonderful thing that tonight we serve the God of Daniel, the God who has not changed. He is no smaller, he is no greater. He is the God who is eternal and everlasting. And he is the God whom we serve and worship. He is able to protect his people. And in these times, God is able to watch over you. Mom and Dad, when you send your children off to school, if you're doing so this week or next, I know your concerns. All parents have concerns each year when they return to school, but I think this year even more so. And we can pray with you, and I know you pray, that God in his grace will shut the virus mouth, stop the attack of that enemy, and protect each one. Let's pray for that as a church. Let's earnestly pray for the boys and girls who, as I say, this week or next, will be going to school and facing that. And then for those who are schooled at home, we are with you. We pray with you in all the demands that that brings. And God is able to deliver our children from the mouth of the enemy. Now, because of his faith, God's enemies were silenced. Look at verse 24. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came to the bottom of the den. Now, when Daniel went in, the lions never touched him. But as soon as his accusers were cast into the den with their wives and children, even before they got to the bottom of the pit, the mouths of the lions were wide open to maul and crunch on the bones of those that were thrown in. So much for the people have said, well, those poor lions must not have been very hungry. Did somebody feed them? Or maybe they're sick and they're not feeling well, they're not hungry. Well, when others were thrown in, they were ravenous and they devoured them. What a vindication of Daniel. And without him accusing or even whispering against his enemies, because he believed in his God, his enemies and God's enemies were put to silence. And we see here just how quickly God can turn the tables. And in our society, where there are many wicked schemes and people who are seeking to silence the gospel, We need to believe that God is able to shut the enemy's mouths and protect his church. In Scotland at this time, there is legislation lined up for a decree, or whatever the legal term is, to enact it. And it is hate speech, hate laws that, if applied, there are organizations just waiting to use that manner of government to silence churches and Christians. In Scotland, the land of the Reformation. But we need to rejoice that God can indeed protect his church. Would you turn with me to the Psalm 28? The Psalm 28. This is a psalm for the persecuted. And I want you to read it with me. It's not very long. I know it takes a few minutes, but it'll be worth it. Psalm 28. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. A bit like Daniel, I thought. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors. But mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. And my song will I, with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Could you put a page of that outside the den of lions? The Lord is able to give what we call boomerang justice. What evil men seek to do to scheme and plot the downfall of others can so often become their own downfall. And God works in that way so many times. Now, lastly, we see in this story in Daniel 6 that the God was honored before the world. And you'll see how his decree went out that in all of his kingdom, in all of the world, he said, well, that would be tall, but that all would now worship only the God of Daniel. What an amazing, wonderful thing. Now, I know we look at the story of Daniel and we think of it as a single little unit story, but let me tell you, this is huge. Because of the Jewish diaspora, for generations, and through this exile. And you know that after the 70 years, there was about 50,000 who went back to rebuild Jerusalem. Well, there were many thousands who didn't. And they were scattered all around the Middle East, under different empires. And kings rose and fall, and Jewish people, Israel people, who worshiped the God of the Old Testament, were in many places. Well, this command of Darius gave them tremendous liberties. And I'm sure when this decree went out, there must have been singing and even dancing at the workings of the Lord to give liberties to his people. And you know, too, that in the New Testament that there was a church at Babylon. Peter was likely the preacher there for a time. A church at Babylon. And because of that witness that the God of Daniel is the true God, for generations the knowledge of God was scattered around the known world at that time. And we can say tonight, all things do work together for good to them that love God. I know, we do not see the hand of God at work in our lives and in our nations. When we turn on the television and we see riots and anarchy, and we hear reports of persecution of hundreds of Christians murdered in Nigeria by Islamic extremists, we cringe. It affects us. And we fear for the future of the testimony of the Lord. During this pandemic, I just read recently that down in Bolivia and Paraguay, where there has been a revival of evangelicalism. Now, a lot of it is charismatic. But since the beginning of this pandemic, there has been over 100 pastors who have died to COVID-19. The government put out mixed messages, mixed information. Many churches closed down. But the pastors went on visiting the sick and the dying, and they in turn have now died. A great loss of manpower, a loss of preachers and teachers. Why does the Lord allow the church to go through such times? Each Thursday morning, a number of ministers and one of our missionaries, the Reverend DeCanio, meet for prayer by Skype. We spend a couple of hours. We study the Word for a bit, talk over a few things, then pray. And weekly we pray, Lord, work your purposes. Now we pray like that because we don't know what God's going to do. Is it going to be revival or is it going to be judgment? Is it going to be long or short? Is it going to bring politicians who are corrupt to their knees? We just pray, Lord, work your purposes. But in it all, we have to believe that God has not forsaken. He has not forsaken His people or His church. What would you say to one of those congregations who have been shut down and then to learn that their pastor is dead? What do you think would be the future of that church? That would be a hard blow. One of the things that encouraged me in the little blurb I read was that it was one of the pastor's sons that was stepping up to fill his father's place. Now, I don't know anything about his training or how well he's equipped, but God will always have His servants. And of course, He will purify His church. You can say that God is doing that right now. He's purifying His church. And through the weariness of this pandemic, we are being tried. One has said that crises or trouble does not just prove the man, it declares who the man is or what the man is. And we are being tested and we are being proven whether we be loyal to Christ, true to the gospel, or whether we just walk away. Daniel believed in his God and he prayed. Now, you might think there's just nothing you can do, but I tell you, you have a ministry of prayer that you can begin. And I think we could do exactly what Daniel did, pray 3 times a day. Live every day with prayer times. May not work out exactly morning, noon, and night with equal time in between, but you can step up your prayer life. Every one of us can. And we need to be a praying church. Now, I've announced Zoom meetings and we're going to have prayer times then, but these are only for a few weeks. We will be back to our prayer meetings. And I trust that you will be with us and be like Daniel, who believed in his God. May the Lord save you tonight. If you're not a Christian, bring you to the cross because you believe. That's faith. If the Lord will save you tonight, come, and He will. Let's unite in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful, amazing story of Daniel, this life of a man of faith, a man of prayer. Oh God, will you bless every one of us that we might have a true, close, constant life of prayer. Oh, send us the Spirit and pour upon us the Spirit of prayer and supplication. Drive us to our knees, and may we together worship and glorify thy name. Save the lost, O Lord. Have mercy on the lost. And now dismiss us with your blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with thy people.